Ryan Dempster.
There's a 1-1 to Freeman. Oh, he caught it! Right into the palm of Dempster's glove.
Ooh,
that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go, Cubs!
That was outstanding.
8:43 in the morning. The great Ryan Dempster standing by to talk a little baseball. And I gotta tell you something. You look at the first week of the season, first week plus of the season. Has there been a better start for Chicago baseball?
Well, 1985 was the last time they were 7-1, and that was a team coming off an NL East championship the year before with a loaded pitching staff, and they got off to a good start. Then all the pitchers got hurt. I think they all ended up on the disabled list by about the middle of June, and that kind of finished them. But no, this is certainly in recent years, this is far and away the best start. Because even the good teams, Steve, that Lou had,
yeah,
I mean, those teams still didn't get out of the gate really quickly.
No. As a matter of fact, they didn't. And you had faith they would pick it up. Mm-hmm. But you're not expected to be this good this early. Here's the thing I think you can take comfort in. And Robin Ventura will join us in an hour about this. Both teams look like it's July.
Yeah.
Both teams look very smooth. They look polished. Usually you don't come out of spring this polished this early.
And teams don't hit this early in Chicago.
Yeah. Usually. It's just now getting warm here, kids. Ryan Dempster, right after Mary, updates to traffic. Let's do that first on 720 WGN. And the Wintrust Community Bank's hour continues with the great Ryan Dempster. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Great morning.
We were just talking, I don't know how much you heard on hold, but we were just talking about how, in my opinion, it feels like June or July because both teams look so good.
Yeah, they really do. You know, I've been impressed, obviously, by both teams. And, you know, I spend more of my time watching Cubs stuff and paying attention to what goes on there. And I marveled at the approach these guys have. It's been pretty remarkable, man. Just grinding out at bats against pitchers and really making guys grind. I was texting with a good friend of mine, Kevin Millar, from Intentional Talk last night.
Yeah.
We were just saying, you know, like, it's the third inning and they were already warming up their third pitcher of the day. That's grinding, man. When you're sitting there doing that starting pitching, and they've beat good starting pitching already, and they're taking real advantage of the guys who aren't very good and putting up some big numbers on the scoreboard and rolling that lineup over like you're trying to do.
Is there an advantage to a team being this good, this young? In other words, are they not old enough to know this isn't supposed to happen?
a little bit of that. I think, you know, I think one thing that's good, I think they know that. You know, those guys were there last year. They're aware of kind of, you know, how, I don't know, what it's going to take, and that it's a long season, too. They're also not going to get ahead of themselves and realize just because they're off to a hot start that, hey, it's a breeze. They realize that the process is the reason why they're winning these games early on, and that's putting together good at-bats, playing good fundamental defense. We're catching the ball really well right now. And then what you can do when you get off to a start like this and you're not chasing early on is, you know, you can give guys some rest to keep them fresh. And I just think that this is really what you're going to expect to see out of the team. And I don't mean that in a way of like, oh, it's going to be easy for them. These guys don't make it easy on themselves. They work extremely hard in between days, batting practice, do these things to prepare to be ready. And you're seeing these results already early on, and these are the results that they expect out of themselves throughout the course of the year.
You know, Joe Maddon gets a lot of credit of being the right manager at the right time and being able to nurture the new ball player, the young ball player now. Is that fair about the modern coddled athlete? Is he that right guy now, or is he just flat out a great manager, period?
I think he can manage in any era. I don't think it matters. I think what Joe does is he's incredible at adapting. And sometimes we want to fight things, you know, whether they're bat flips or, you know, it doesn't matter what sport it is. You know, people want the touchdown. They want to dab. They want to do the dance. Cool. Let them, that's the generation we're in. That's just, I fought it for the longest time, you know, because I get frustrated when I watch the Little League World Series and I see a 12-year-old kid throwing his helmet in the stands or, you know, walking off a home run, and I just think that we should hustle all the way around. But if you notice Joe's guys and his team, they respect that 90 feet. He lets them be men. He lets them be their own individual. You know, I remember last year there was a couple guys on the team like to wear their hat a little sideways, and they're both great dudes. You know, Pedro and Strope and Ruff and Rodney. And I said, doesn't that get on your nerves? He's like, Ryan, why do I want to pick that battle? Why is that the battle I want to pick?
It's a great point. It's a great point.
And I was just like, wow, man, that he really does. He adapts to the situation. I think that makes him, a great manager for this generation, but for any generation he can manage him.
You know, Ryan, you look back at last year, I think the Cubs had 13 or 14 walk-off wins. They led the majors, I think, pretty much the entire season. And now you look at the game the other night in the home opener, when they're getting no hit by Brandon Finnegan most of the night, then they get a two-out hit from Ross, and then they get a big two-out clutch single from Hayward, and then an inning later, Addison Russell, a first-pitch three-run homer. And it just seems like they don't get flustered. And how much of that do you attribute to having been able to do that on such a regular basis last year where they pulled out so many of those games in the late innings?
Oh, for sure. I think, you know, past performances and past situations are going to help you in future ones. And I think those guys going through that last year and realizing that, hey, whoa, we're never out of any game, no matter what the situation, no matter who's closing, we can come back and we can do this. And it rolls over into the next season because you do have a pretty similar lineup to what you had last year. You know, with the exception of a few guys, but a lot of the same guys are back. So that mentality carries over. And when you have veteran guys who kind of have been down that road so many times and know that, hey, listen, it's not over. It's a beautiful and gorgeous thing about baseball. There's not a shot clock. There's not a timer. It's not over until it's over.
Nope.
And you have a say in it. And I think that is going to prove, you know, huge for these guys again this year. And just those situations where it might not be a walk-off, but, you know, here's a game where it looked like, wow, man, we might get no hit, and next thing you know, we're winning the game, and you're going to see a lot of those games this year because those guys truly believe it, and they believe it for the right reasons because it's happened.
Ryan, question for you. I was at the game last night. It was beautiful to watch, of course, but, you know, you couldn't help but feel, maybe it was because I was sitting behind the Reds dugout, but you couldn't help feel for Alfredo Simon. What happened to him? Why does the catcher keep going up to the, I know the crowd was booing, but he must have gone up to him a half a dozen times. Could he not see the signals, or was it some sort of a physical problem with him?
Yeah, well, I've been in that exact situation before, not getting out of the first inning, you know, and kind of a similar situation where a lot of walks and falling behind guys, and, you know, the catcher's trying to do something to get you in a rhythm, and he's trying to say, hey man, just throw the ball over the plate, and you're telling him, I'm trying to throw it over there, but it's not going where I want right now. And you know, it turns into a grind. And what's the right medicine or remedy for that? Is it going out there one time? Is it just letting them figure it out on its own? And that's the tough job as a catcher, to try and figure out and balance, because you're not just balancing calling pitches back there. You're also balancing a guy's emotions and what he's wearing on his sleeves. And he really struggled last night. And that was also a tribute to the guys up to the plate. You know, those guys weren't going out of the zone. And maybe he was thinking that he could go, you know, maybe a little bit off the plate. But the discipline of the hitters last night just didn't allow him to do that. It's not a lot of fun. You feel like you're all alone on an island out there, and then when the catcher does come out, you're like, "Wait, who's this stranger? Get out of here!" It's a tough emotion to go through for any pitcher.
But positive momentum and negative momentum are both momentum. In other words, if a catcher comes out to talk to you, it may annoy the hell out of you, but it may take you out of that moment where you just want to throw the next one quickly again, and you're in a bad groove, and you need to pause. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as a younger catcher, and you, like I said, you have to try to find that balance. And, you know, that's the one thing they teach us, and it's the hardest thing to do in professional sports, is to slow things down when things are going, you know, start speeding up. Is how do you slow them down? How do you take a deep breath? And he was doing that. It was rapid fire, ball one, ball two, ball one, ball two, and you're constantly pitching behind and, you know, trying to throw the same pitch, shaking to the fastball or shaking to the breaking ball, and it's not working. And sometimes maybe we go to this side of the plate versus throwing to this other side where we've been having no success. Let's try something else. And in those moments, you're just kind of searching for whatever you can to try and get some sort of momentum going in your favor. And fortunately for us, he didn't get any momentum, and we were able to put a bunch of runs up on the board.
Best moment of the early season, not Cubs or White Sox related. What are you seeing?
Oh, man, this kid in Colorado. I mean, no pun intended, but what a story.
Terrible
story. This shortstop, Walt Weiss came out of spring training saying he's going to win the Rookie of the Year. And people go, sure, you know, every manager has high hopes for their player. But just the way he carries himself, not just the seven home runs that he's already hit, the four straight games to open the season, and but the defense he plays, energy he plays with, and in short order, I don't know if he'll ever make him forget, but at least make him get over the loss of Troy Tulowitzki, because
right.
The kid has just been burst onto the scene, and a great kid, and good for him.
And guess where he's going to be playing this weekend, starting tomorrow at Wrigley.
The unfriendly confines?
Mm-hmm. That's all right. Wind's blowing in this month, so it's a good thing.
As a vet, do you get to see the new clubhouse, or do you have to know somebody?
No. I get to preview it before the boys came home, and then obviously was in there on opening day. This thing's spectacular. You know, you can talk about all the amenities and being like a country club, but these guys know what it takes to go out there and perform on the field, and they're rewarded by this spectacular facility with. The clubhouse itself is beautiful, but it's not huge and gaudy. It's all the extra stuff that's back there that's pretty awesome. And as long as the guys don't forget why they're there, and that's to play baseball, which they won't, because they have the right people around there. I said it, man. You're going to be telling free agents down the road, hey, sorry, I wish we had room for you, but we're just full here. And it's a pretty awesome thing.
Are you responsible for the fog machine and the disco ball?
That's Demps runs it. Demps runs the disco ball.
Burster's mine.
What's your
mine? The confetti burster, the silver
confetti burster. You know what's scary is that you know what it's called.
Oh, I got two of them at home. Why wouldn't I?
That's fantastic. All right, hold on a second. That's the great Ryan Dempster. He's funny. He's funny. You know, we get such a group talking about baseball, I forget how funny he is. We'll just have to do a full smart-ass segment with Ryan.
Maybe you can get him in one of your comedy shows.
He could do it. He could absolutely do it.
He's done stand-up.
Yeah.